Josh was serving on a battleship during a military exercise, and as the night fell, the visibility was poor because of fog patches, so the captain remained on the bridge. Shortly after nightfall, a light was reported coming directly at the ship, which meant they were on a collision course with somebody. The captain then called the signal person, "Signal the ship. We're on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. Back came the signal, "Advise you change yourself 20 degrees. By this time, the captain was furious. He yelled, "Send out, I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Back came the flashlight. "I'm a lighthouse. We change course." God puts people in given positions of authority to protect us as a society. We are wise to respect those that he has placed over us and around us. Let's pray. Jesus, we're grateful for the many wise people that you've placed in our lives. Help us to ever be learners and respond graciously to those who are over us. We want to serve others in the same way you are continually serving us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been going through the book of 1 Peter. Today our text is 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 to 17. Ernie's going to put it up on the screen so you'll be able to follow along as they go through. 1 Peter 2, 13 to 17. "For the Lord's sake, be subject to every human authority, whether to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor." In the first part of 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle's challenging these churches in Asia Minor to respond to those around them with grace, even when they're taken advantage of. Have you ever been taken advantage of? No one likes to be in this situation. It feels very uncomfortable. These earlier followers of Christ are encouraged to live holy lives in the midst of a chaotic culture that they're enmeshed with. And how are they going to survive in this fishbowl of pressure? Is by daily inviting the Holy Spirit to walk with them as they rely on the power of God. In the coming weeks, these passages in 1 Peter will focus on the church's response to the authority over us, how slaves were to respond to their masters, and the dynamic relationship between husbands and wives. And finally, how those in the church family should respond to each other. No matter what the social setting these Christians find themselves in, they're to live their lives in such a way that it honors God. We each are like diplomats that represent the kingdom of God. And so we want to represent Jesus well. It'll be very difficult to lead others until we've learned to be a people of humility that are learning to serve instead of just being served. 1 Peter 2, 13 to 15. We're reminded that God has set his people over us to protect us. Verse 13 starts out by saying, "For the Lord's sake, be subject to every human authority, whether to the emperor supreme," and then in verse 14, it continues, "or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right." Accept the authority of every human institution. Doesn't this make you want to recoil inside when you hear these words? We don't want anyone to be the boss of us, especially those who are unscrupulous and are not looking out for our best interest. Peter is saying to these Christians that they're to recognize that God has allowed these leaders to be placed over them. Our first allegiance is always to God. And then everyone else lines up behind this as a far second. A good example of this was in Germany in World War II, when the church responded too slowly to the injustice of Hitler's government until it was too late. Peter goes on to say, whether it's to the emperor or governors, they were to obey them. All positions of authority that are established among people are dependent on God for their existence. God is ultimately in control of all things. Proverbs 21:1 says this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a stream wherever he pleases. These leaders are representatives of the Lord's to punish those who do wrong and reward those who do right. The Christian's motivation was not simply the idea of punishment and reward, but that God asks us to comply. Indirectly, then, a person who disobeys a human leader disobeys God, who has ordained and placed those who are over us. Our initial thought could be, how could anyone trust a politician? And our second thought would be, how could anyone trust a politician? You get the idea. And yet when Peter's writing to the churches in Asia Minor, the emperor is Nero, and he was known for his brutality. Peter wanted these believers to be good citizens so the judicial arm of the government wouldn't need to be raised against the church unnecessarily. The church was to observe the man-made laws carefully, as long as those laws did not conflict with the clear teaching of Scripture. And secondly, in verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing right you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. By these Christians' responsive obedience to the governing bodies, they would silence the false accusations being brought against them. So the best defense against criticism was good behavior. The Christians were well known for helping with food to the poor, nursing the sick to health, and bringing stability and peace to the society. These believers experienced protection under the legal system, which commended those who obeyed the law, in contrast to how many responded to the authorities. A pastor in Alabama named Bill was driving to speak at a church in another county, and he was running late. He was driving 20 miles over the speed limit. Canada, that's 32 kilometers. When suddenly he remembered he had a Christian bumper sticker on his car. Suddenly Bill's conscience started to give him fits, saying, what do you think people are going to think about you when you whip past them going 20 miles over the speed limit? He faced a moral dilemma and knew what he needed to do. He pulled off the road and he ripped the bumper sticker off. The law, like the speed limit, are actually put in place for our protection. 1 Peter 2, 16 and 17. It states that we should treat one another differently because of our relationship with God. Verse 16 says, as servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Before Jesus entered our lives, we had a direct experience and how we encountered both entanglements and pain as a direct result of sin in our lives. Everything was messed up, broken, both on the inside and outside, because we were enslaved to sin. We can completely identify with Paul's words in Romans 7:15. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Christ has come calling us to himself, inviting us to embrace both his healing touch and the ability to live freely in the world that he has created for us. To experience God is to know freedom. The believers are to submit under the authorities because of their geographical location, but also because they're ultimately under the Lord's authority. They are not slaves to Caesar, rather they're slaves to Christ. In the second part of verse 16, Peter says, do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil or as an excuse for insubordination. To live disorderly would only hurt the church family and give reason for the government to persecute them as a whole. I just read an article this last week about a lady who worked for United Way in their financial department and stole over $300,000. It's all gone. She has no way of repaying it, and a court case is going on. The United Way came out and said, we lost twice. We lost the money, but also our reputation has taken a great loss. Sometimes people experience persecution from others or the government because of their poor choices, not because they're Christians. When a different country has taken over your homeland, it'd be easy to be resentful of the government. Even though this is the case, as these Jews find themselves with Roman rulers, Peter instructs them to be people of peace. Genuine freedom is the freedom to serve God. And it's out of this freedom that we influence the world around us. Verse 17, honor everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. As these followers of Jesus live holy lives, they're to exhibit a respect for all people. They're to live in such a way as to recognize all people have been created equally in God's image and deserve to be honored as such. They are to love and be kind to all others who are part of the family of God, even when they're misunderstandings. We as Christ followers need to respond to one another with grace and forgiveness. These believers were to fear God or acknowledge Him in both reverence and awe as the creator of all things. And finally, they were to honor the king or leaders over them, recognizing the Lord had placed them in authority over them. A story from the Peanuts cartoon. It's Christmas time. Lucy comes in where Charlie Brown is standing and says, "Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. 'Tis the season of peace on earth and goodwill to all people. Therefore, I suggest we forget all our differences and love one another." Charlie Brown's face lights up, and he says, "That's wonderful, Lucy. I'm so glad you said that. But tell me, do we have to love each other only this season of the year? Why can't we love each other all year long?" Lucy retorts, "What are you, a fanatic or something? If it means loving people like God loves us, then maybe we need to become a little more fanatical." Be kind and gracious to all around you when it's in your power to do so. Just to be very clear, our first obedience is always to Jesus and only to Jesus. If any political, cultural, or social leaders want us to forsake Jesus, this is nothing we could ever be a part of. This is our line in the sand that we cannot cross. Take our houses, take our cars, take our bank accounts, take our kids. No, you can't get out of that responsibility this easy. Take our very lives, because without Christ, we have nothing. There are Christians around the world daily that are either being killed or threatened with being killed because of their complete allegiance to Jesus, and we are no different. As Jim Elliot said so well, "He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose." God has come and made us who were spiritually dead alive. We now have a purpose. We have dreams. We have hopes for things to finally be made right in our lives and the broken world in which we exist. Listen to what it says in Colossians 2, 8 to 10. "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you also are complete through union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Who is ultimately in control of our world and very lives? God and God alone. But if we have the attitude that everyone else is stupid and we are the only ones who are clued in, such thinking is both naive and foolish. The more we understand about God and ourselves and the world that we are a part of, the more humility should be evident in our lives. Those who are over us are not the enemy, and we often know very little of the difficulties they experience in attempting to serve us. Who is our enemy? Paul mentions this in Ephesians 6:12. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We often only see a glimpse of God's plan and the universe that we are part of. God does not need us, but he chooses to work through us, to gently touch and love those around us if we invite him in to partner with us in our day. It's a great thing when you wake up in the morning, and once you've woken up, to invite God to come with you, wherever you're going to go, whoever you're going to meet, whatever you see, it changes everything. Do we honor those over us in Ottawa, in Alberta, in Mournville? Or do we take every opportunity to undermine and discredit them? Instead of opposing those who've been put over us to serve us, are there ways that we can improve things with our own involvement? Do we show respect to those who teach us, to our supervisors at work, or to the nurses, police, ambulance drivers who serve our town? Live in such a way that if it's up to you, be at peace with all people. We can conclude with the words in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the structures that you've placed around us to protect us. We ask for strength and wisdom for those who have been put over us. Allow them to serve with hearts that promote justice and mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love the words in this song. So if it's new to you, just read the words and let them sink in, and let's make this our prayer.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you. I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as lost. For the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you.
I have a couple announcements. Benediction, where we're singing one more song and be dismissed. If you want prayer today, there's someone in the back corner that will pray with you and for you. Also, soup and pie sign up. That's February 2nd. We always have a great time with our soup and pies. And there's so many different types of soup. You get to try almost anything. One of the what's going to follow the soup and pie on February 2nd is the annual meeting. This is the best part of the annual meeting. If you ever go to an annual meeting, this is the best part. This is what we do at the very beginning. We give an opportunity for anybody to boast in God. Something he's done this last year in your life, in the church life, whatever it is. It's the best part of the meeting. If you just come for that part and leave, I don't care. But sometimes the life, our lives are moving so fast that we cannot reflect on all the things that have happened. How many mountains we've come up against and God has walked us through. We're just thinking about the next mountain we have to go through. And so we want to take a moment and recognize his working and involvement in our lives, because it's ever-changing, it's dynamic, and it's real. Okay, my benediction. Have you ever been put in charge of something? Has that ever happened for you? I remember in junior high, I was vice president of something or other, but one of the key things I got was I got to be something like a role monitor. And I was at the back of the class. I couldn't see in those days. I was in the back of the class, and we could give out lines to people in our row if they were chewing gum or if they were doing all those different things. Everybody used to be my friend until I became the monitor. And I had to give them lines. And I lost all my friends. It's not always fun being in charge. There's great responsibility and great pressure with it. And someday, we're going to be accountable for the people that we were over. And so, if somebody's over you, be gracious to them. If you're over somebody, be gracious to them. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that when you honor those, you honor God. Amen.
We're going to close our service with another song, so if you're comfortable, please stand. And we're going to need your help clapping. Let everything
that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'll praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. Praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered. Praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. Praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
praise, cause you rose and defeated the grave. All praise, cause you're faithful. Praise, cause you're true. Praise, cause there's nobody greater than you. All praise, cause you're sovereign. Praise, cause you reign. Praise, cause you rose and defeated the grave. All praise, cause you're faithful. Praise, cause you're true. Praise, cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. 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 I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Let everything
praise
his breath.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Have a great week.